without having to fight your way up, said Mr. Savaloy. It really is possible in such a stale society. But if you try to fight hundreds of thousands of men, you'll die. And then, to his surprise, he found himself adding, probably. The horde grinned at him. Big odds don't frighten us, said Truckle.
We like big odds, said Caleb. You see, Teach, odds of 1,000 to 1 ain't a lot worse than 10 to 1, said Cohen. The reason being, he counted on his fingers, one, your basic soldier who's fighting for pay rather than his life ain't going to stick his neck out when there's all these other blokes around who might as well do the business. And two, not very many of them are going to be able to get near us at one time and then all be pushing and shoving. And, he looked at his fingers with an expression of terminal calculation. Three, said Mr. Savaloy, hypnotised by his logic. Three, right, half the time, when they swing their swords, they'll hit one of their mates, saving us a bit of effort, see?
But even if that were true, it'd only work for a little while, Mr. Savaloy protested. Even if you killed as many as 200, you'd be tired, and there'd be fresh troops attacking you.
Oh, they'll be tired too, said Cohen cheerfully.
Why?
Because by then, to get to us, they'd have had to be running uphill.
That's logic, that is, said Truckle approvingly.
Cohen slapped the shaken teacher on the back.
Don't you worry about a thing, he said. If we've got the Empire by your kind of plan, we'll keep it by our kind of plan. You've shown us civilization, so we'll show you barbarism.
He walked a few steps and then turned, an evil glint in his eye.
Barbarism? Ha! When we kill people, we'd do it there and then, looking them in the eye, and we'd be happy to buy them a drink in the next world. No harm done. I never knew a barbarian who cut up people slowly in little rooms or tortured women to make them look pretty or put poison in people's grub. Civilization? If that's civilization, you can shove it where the sun don't shine.
What? He said, shove it where the sun doesn't shine, Hamish.
I've been there.
But there is more to civilization than that, said Mr. Savaloy. There's music and literature and the concept of justice and the ideals of... The bamboo doors slid aside. As one man, joints creaking, the horde turned with weapons raised. The men in the doorway were taller and much more richly dressed than the peasants, and they moved in the manner of people who are used to there being no one in the way. Ahead of them, though, was a trembling peasant holding a red flag on a stick. He was prodded into the room at sword point.
Red flag? Whispered Cohen. It means they want to parley, said Six Beneficent Winds.
You know, it's like our white flag of surrender, said Mr. Savaloy.
Never heard of it, said Cohen.
It means you mustn't kill anyone until they're ready.
Mr. Savaloy tried to shut out the whispers behind him.
Why don't we just invite them to dinner and massacre them all when they're drunk?
You heard the man. The 700,000 of them.
Ah, so it did have to be something simple with pasta, then?
A couple of the lords strode into the middle of the room. Cohen and Mr. Savaloy went to meet them.
And you too, said Cohen, grabbing Rincewind as he tried to back away. You're a weaselly man with words in a tight spot, so come on.
Lord Hong regarded them with the expression of a man whose ancestry had bequeathed to him the ability to look down on everything.
My name is Lord Hong. I am the Emperor's Grand Vizier. I order you to quit these premises immediately and submit to judgment.
Mr. Savaloy turned to Cohen.
Ain't gonna, said Cohen.
Mr. Savaloy tried to think.
How shall I phrase this? Genghis Cohen, leader of the Silver Horde, presents his compliments to the Lord Hong, but...
Tell him he can stuff it, said Cohen.
I think, Lord Hong, that perhaps you may have perceived the general flow of opinion here, said Mr. Savaloy.
Where are the rest of your barbarians, peasant?
He demanded. Rincewind watched Mr. Savaloy. The old teacher seemed at a loss for words this time. The wizard wanted to run away, but Cohen had been right. Mad as it sounded, it was probably safer to be near